Thank you, Joe.
And all this week, I can't wait to get here. It's been that good, you know. And Austin ripped his heart out, and you know, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, they say I got a bad heart. But this week, my heart has been blessed. And, you know, I'm thankful that I was able to attend this revival. It means a lot to me, and I'm thankful for Austin and his messages. I was kind of leery, you know. I didn't know who Austin was, but I know Austin now, and I'm really... I'm glad I've attended this, brother.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about the young people, how they attended during the week. And it blessed me that they were here, too.
Yeah.
Because I can remember when I was 16 years old, and, you know, I made a lot of mistakes in my life. But, you know, these young people, if they depend on Jesus and take... and stay with Jesus, they're going to come out all right.
Amen.
And, you know, your life is just like a vapor, you know. It just seems like yesterday I was young and vibrant and everything, but, you know, I made the mistakes, and you can't live your life over again. But I'm so glad that I accepted the Lord, and I'm glad that the Lord is in my life, and He's blessed me. He's really blessed me during this revival now. And I appreciate the singing, I appreciate everything, testimonies, and I appreciate Austin. I mean, I've been bragging on him. I was bragging on him today, you know, to my sons, you know, and I'm just thankful I've been able to attend. Y'all remember me when you pray.
Bless you,
Joe.
Praise
the Lord.
Bill Biggie, Church.
Amen.
Bill Biggie. He didn't say, Brother, how's that to be obedient? He said, be obedient.
Amen.
Yeah. And he said, two or three, I'll be there. He's here.
Right.
So let's just worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Go ahead.
I sought to find the right way to go. One day.
have come, set your feet under the table of the Lord, and be obedient. We have a lot to pray about. We live in a nation that needs the Lord, communities that are lost, families that are lost. We have a lot to pray about. And the more we pray, the greater our vision, the greater our burden, He will reward us openly. It's good to have every one of you. Donnie Worley, you stand, please, and lead us in a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you give us.
Yes.
Lord, this wonderful week that we've had.
Amen.
Father, what a great spirit Amen. That we've felt here this week. Lord, we just thank you for the blessings.
Sure, sure.
Lord, as Brother Joe said, it's how exciting it's been each
Amen.
To come back to your house. The blessings that you've gave us this week. We love you, Lord.
Thank
you for what you did on Calvary for us. Lord, I pray and I ask you tonight, Lord, that your Holy Spirit
yes.
would send your convicting power down. And Lord, if there's anyone in the midst here this evening, Lord, that don't know you, we pray.
Amen.
God, you would deal with their hearts. Lord, that they'd realize one day where they're going to spend eternity at. Lord, we pray that you
sure.
lead us here as an army. And Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Austin tonight. I pray that you'd anoint him. Lord, you'd just be the spokesman through his
yes.
Lord, he'd just step out of the way and let you just step in and take over. Lord, I pray that we'd all do that tonight. Just get out of the way and let your spirit have right of way.
Amen.
I pray that we'd just be obedient. Bless us here tonight, and we ask in this favor in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. When Joe got up and said, and he kept on telling me, he said, I hope I make the whole week. He made it 6 days. And physically, he's had struggles, but I'm glad he had a desire. But I thought when he got up and witnessed, I thought of this, when David said, I was glad to be in the house of the Lord. We ought to walk in rejoicing, thanking him that our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I praise him. Every day I praise him and I thank him. I want to walk in the mornings, and probably some people think I'm a little bit off here because I talk to the Lord all the time I'm walking. Once in a while, I listen to my iPod. Most of all, I'm listening to the Lord as he speaks to me. And then I'll begin to give him a praise offering. And these people probably think, this guy, there's something wrong with him, you know. But there isn't. I'm like Legion. Yeah, I was demon-possessed. Don't ask me to tell you, I'm not. It's forgiven and forgotten by the Lord. But I'll tell you this, he put me in my right mind. And he put a testimony in my mouth and a song in my heart, and I'm on my way home. I don't want you to, someone said, you go to church too much. No, I don't go enough. It's not in the church, but it's a fellowship. It's God's people when we get together. And this week has been a glorious day. We've had people visit with us and enjoy themselves. And I'm telling you, it's just been a week for me to enjoy the blessings, the message, the singing, the praising of the Lord. Now, I want you to make a commitment with me. This is Saturday night. You know what we used to call it? We used to call it the devil's night. But in the Word of God, it said, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So I want you to make a commitment with me. And by an uplifted hand, if he speaks to you, he gives you a testimony or a song that you'll obey him. Will you do that? Let me see your hand. Okay, we're going to have a good time. You ready, Pam? Bless your heart. Mind the Lord,
church. Well, I raised my hand, so okay. I just love to get up.
Bless you, Dana.
I've enjoyed this week.
Yeah.
I missed one night. Ethan had one of his ball games, and I'm I know him. Papa is God, so he looks up to me a lot. And he was expecting me to be there, so I was. I'm not making no excuses, but I'm glad I was here, been here with you.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it. Crowd may be down a little bit tonight from what it has been, but that don't bother me none. I'm glad I'm one of us that's here.
Yeah.
I can have a good time in a little crowd, same as can a big crowd.
Yeah.
I'm glad and saved. I really am. You know, I know I'm saved. I can feel it down in my heart. Tommy, I'm glad you and your family, Brittany, and your kids have come. Them, Ethan, them boys, they look up to you.
Yeah.
I got to know you through them. And they look up to you, Tommy, and because they love you.
Amen.
But, that one especially, he don't let nobody mess with him, but he'll let Tommy cut his hair. That's a little one. He's got a mind of his own. He likes Tommy. But just wanted to say that.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Sure.
Just pray for us as we're up here. Pray for Pam. She leads the singing. Wendy, she plays the piano. Al, she leads the service. Brother Austin, as your preachers,
yes.
Pray for me when I testify, and I'll pray for you.
Yes.
We'll have a good time tonight.
Right. Lord.
You know
that's
what?
Right.
The Lord's here.
Yeah.
How I know? I feel Him.
Yeah.
I feel Him.
Yeah.
I've had a good day. I've tried awful hard. The devil, he kind of every now and then will try to throw something at me, and I say, Lord, I don't want to pull that this week. See? And I just had a good week.
Yeah.
He may get on me next week, but he ain't bothering me that much. Joe, I'm glad you got to come to church.
Sure.
There you are. Them testimonies. I thought last night, I'm just talking, but I was outside on the, I mean, it's a sight that you have to do this, but we have somebody has to watch your parking lot.
Right, right.
And that's just the kind of world we live in. But I wore the little path between that door and that door because I was there, and my job was to watch that parking lot and make sure nothing come in there wasn't supposed to. But I could hear something going on in here, and I'd come and took it through them windows. And I wore a little path back and forth, but I enjoyed every bit of it.
Yes.
I don't know why I said all that, but y'all, I'm just me. I don't try to be nobody else. And I'm just me, and I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got other people from my old stomping grounds on Tyler Mountain. They've been here several nights this week. And Billy Lane, his dad married me and Florence 54 years ago. And it's lasted that long. I hope it continues. But I just want to mention that. It's good to see them because I grew up up there.
Amen.
I went to church or community chapel, and I know Billy real well because we dribbled basketball together and everything. So Billy, he was younger than me, but we had a good time. And I wasn't where I was supposed to be, but I felt right at home there. And
amen.
And his dad, he was really special to me.
Amen.
That's the reason I got him to marry me in the Lord. And, it's lasted 54 years, and I hope it continues, And I'd like him, I appreciate him coming out here to church, and everything, but I praise the Lord for him. I remember Diane, she's not here tonight, but when I was going to church here, she was just real, she's just young, real little, And she used to come and sat with me and everything, it's really special to remember things like that, And I'm thankful for their lives, for being here, it's good to have people in your background come to your church and stuff like that. That's all I got to say. Y'all pray for me, Rex always says, I didn't know I was going to say all that. I did, and I'm thankful that I'm saved. And, like Stan says, I love the Lord. And, it's special.
Bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
God. You have a good voice. You're praising through ages. Amen. So what we need to do is get in practice while we're here. Because we're going. Someone said, I don't like a loud church. Well, I'm different. I do. Because in heaven, we're going to rejoice. We're going to have a heavenly choir.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's exciting to be a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Pam.
Certain places that we go to every year because food's good.
Yeah.
We go back and we tell people, you need to go down there when you go to Myrtle Beach, you need to go here. So I feel like I've been fed this week. I like messages where I get something.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but I keep it. You know, I
that's right.
I remember Alan Stewart preaching on being the man my dog preached on.
Yeah.
I can remember that. But Jody and I was talking this week, Friday, about your message on Zacchaeus. I said, I never heard it preached like that before.
That's right.
And I said, I always call Jody a liberal, but he's not, by this messing with him. But I say, you know, some preachers say you can't do that because it's not in there. Well, it could have been, And I think it ought to be, because I'm going to use that one of these days, but I just enjoy it. And I got something, I'm going to keep it.
That's right.
But I enjoy being fed this week, enjoyed you this week, and just,
amen.
Just bless you, man.
Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you what they did. They came together. It was a Methodist revival with an old-time Holy Ghost evangelist that skinned me, and I wasn't a Christian. And the first thing I said with the first message, who told him about my life? Who revealed anything to him? Nobody knew me. I was here just a stranger. I was only going to stay 30 days. But those people come together, the Methodist, the Baptist, the Church of God, the Assembly of God. And you know what they said? What a revival. I'll never forget it. You know why I won't forget it? Because I was saved there. Yeah. I was saved there. Lady was very faithful to the church. And she told the evangelist, he was standing in the back door like our evangelist does, and said, see this little fellow right there? Said, he needs to get saved. He needs your prayers. And I thought to myself, why don't you shut your mouth? Yeah, I didn't want her to expose me. I didn't want that, you know. That's what sinners will do. But next night, I went back. I wasn't going to go. I told the lady, I'm not going no more. I didn't tell her why. I said, I'm not going no more. Then she said, if you go, I'll go. Would you go? I said, well, I guess, that night he preached, and as soon as he got through, it appeared that he was speaking to me with that message and looking at me. It was the Holy Spirit convicting me, and I was saved that night. I'm telling you, it was, the devil said, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got a thing. But I knew that my heart had been changed. I've been converted, and I was on my way home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Very young in the Lord, but I'll tell you, I've enjoyed serving the Lord. There's been ups and downs, but he's always been right there with me. I've never been in and out, but I've been right there with me, and he's been there with me. Yeah. Go ahead, Cody.
Take our hymn.
We were in Parkersburg at a track meet, and like Julie got to be here, we get to be here because people got hurt. Now, I don't want people to get hurt, but I'm glad they did so they could cancel Grace's race so we could be here to hear what God has for us. I didn't want to miss, but you know what? I would have been there with my child. She wanted to be here. She was going to skip the race anyway and to come. I'm glad my kids want to be here. Yeah. You know, we were away one night this week in Morgantown, and our kids were here. I'm glad I've got a family like that. I'm glad that God has blessed me with that kind of family. I'm glad that God has blessed by putting that want in my kids' life. They want to be here. Today I drove a long way to get here. I drove from Kenna to Walton, Walton to Parkersburg, Parkersburg to Kenna to make my way back here. And I couldn't wait to get here. All the places I was going, this is where I want to end up. You know, I thought about something Austin said this week. He said in giving the altar call, he said, you won't remember the group. You won't remember what they were singing. You won't remember the preacher. You won't remember what he was preaching about. But you won't forget where you're at.
Right.
And I could take you down to the church.
Yeah.
I could show you where I was sitting. I could show you where I got up because I can't tell you how I got there. I don't remember who was singing, but there was four of them up there. I don't remember what the preacher was preaching about. I don't even remember his name. But he was there. But God was there.
Yeah.
And that night, I gave it all to him. Yes. Never looked back. Never looked back, and he's never looked away. And I'm thankful for that. I am so glad to be here. So glad to feel the Spirit, you know. It doesn't matter if we're up or down in the crowd. It just matters if Jesus shows up. And he was here before I got here, so he's going to stick around when I leave. I'm just glad that Jesus shows up every time and just pours out a Spirit. If you want it, if you want it, you can get it. If you want it from him, you can get it from him. You come expecting, you come receiving. I'm thankful to serve a God like that. I'm glad Jesus loves me. That's all I can say.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Rob. Well, he loves to fight me at the last minute trying to get ready because, you know, you've got to have that certain pair of shoes and this and that. But I got a real blessing last night. I did not know Tommy was in the crowd. Now, y'all are referring to Tommy as the guard. Well, Tommy's mother and I were out working bus routes. When she was carrying him and his twin brother. He was born on a Sunday morning 33 years ago. And it's just exciting to see him here tonight. And I know his dad got saved and was in church for a number of years. And he just slipped out. And I was talking to him last night, from what I know. His mom slipped out. But he's got a praying grandmother.
Amen.
That's in church.
Thank you, grandmother.
Yeah. Every time the doors are open, she's praying for him. And it's just a blessing to see him here.
Yeah.
Just being with you all. I love coming out here. Lois got to go home today, so that's good news. So that's my hope. May she make a good recovery to me and everything and needs. And I'm looking forward to our get together tomorrow.
Bless you, Mary.
And service. And I love the Lord and I love you all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes, that's your heart.
We come in Monday and you walk down the aisle, Tommy. And Debbie says, that's not who you think it is. So don't say anything, but it's not. You got a twin, and we know R.W. And Haley, and he don't say what you. But I started to, but I said I thought that's R.W. But I thought about that. I got a brother. We're not twins, but we look a lot alike. And he used to give me a lot of trouble because he go to places that people say I seen you. I said no, that wasn't me. I wasn't in that place. But anyway, they get you in trouble sometimes. But let's take our hymn books. Go ahead, Tom.
Thankful to be here. All week it's been wonderful. It has. The message has been great.
Good, yeah.
It's just been uplifting and revival like it should be.
Bless you, Tom. Bless you, Tom. Amen.
I just want to do what God wants me to do and continue to tell people about His saving grace for all.
Yeah.
And I just hope to continue to lead me in your passion to spread the word.
Amen.
Else. If not, take your hymn books, turn to page number 30 as the choir comes down. Fellowship if you want to. Page number 30.
Actions so quickly was made.
come to the most important part of the word, of the service. The word will be preached, anointed, and I trust that you'll listen. Take heed. The altar's open. It's been open every night. And we'll stop whatever we're doing if you'd like to come and pray. I want you to pray. This man has preached his heart out. And the anointing has been with him. And I don't think, personally for myself, I'll ever forget this revival. It's been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But all I could tell people when I invite them, come and hear this man of God. Yeah. Brother Austin, you come. I trust that you obeyed the Lord. If you didn't, you'll suffer. Amen. Bless you, Deb. Bless you.
At a little Methodist church out by Skeeties Hot Dogs. And I'm like Rob. I do know the guy that preached, but I don't know what he preached. I don't know who sang. And you know, I was 15 years old, and I'm thankful that at 15 years old I became a Christian.
Sure.
And I was raised in a Christian home. And at that young age, I felt like God just protected me from a lot of things out in the world.
That's
as a
right,
young, as a young teenager.
Right.
And I just, I don't want to take that for granted. I do appreciate that. And, you know, Greg and I were both saved on the same night. Greg wasn't raised in church. And my dad told him he thought it would be good for him to go to church with us that night. And when I went to the altar to pray, there was lots of people up there praying with me. And really, I thought my mom was behind me praying. And when I got up, it was Greg that was behind me praying. And I just thank God for that. I mean,
sure.
Things can go lots of ways. And I just appreciate that. And I just want to thank you for all he's done for
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
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 I've not gotten in a hurry all week. I won't get in a hurry on Saturday night. Anyone else? Turn to Jeremiah tonight, chapter 18. I thought many of you, we were joking around last night a little bit about who washed their vehicles yesterday and whatnot, but I thought my wife and I were able to go out for a little drive today in her Jeep, and we had taken the T-tops off of it and was out running around, and I told her, I said, I think I'll just drive it on up to church just like it is there on up in Ravenswood. I said, I'll meet you in Ripley and you can ride back. We'll ride back, look at the stars and whatnot, and I got out to go get in the Jeep, and many of you noticed the same thing I did. The skies had changed from that beautiful, clear blue to the storm was beginning to roll in. I wasn't taking any chances. I rolled the garage door up. I pulled the Jeep in the garage. I got in my truck and up the interstate I came. But I thought I was cautious enough to prepare for something that was about to happen. Whether it was going to happen or not, I was prepared regardless. In my life, I thought, I got saved at 7 years old, and I was preparing for a storm that's coming. I don't know when the day is that it's coming. I don't know how bad that it's really going to be, but all I know is that I'm prepared for that day, and amen, I'm thankful for that. But if you're not prepared for the storm that's coming tonight, you are in grave danger tonight. If you've not taken the precautions, amen, the signs of the time are here. Amen. I heard a preacher say the other day, or maybe someone said the other day about how that the judgment, he just didn't quite see how it could be that close. Amen. I don't know what he's looking at, but from my eyes, amen, there's not anything else that needs to prophesy, that needs fulfilled. Amen. There's not anything else that's got to come to pass. I'm telling you, we can look at the way this world has gotten, but it's not about how the way the world has gotten. It's the shape that our churches have gotten into. That's what tells me that the Lord is nigh to coming back. That's what tells me that we don't have long, church. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're not ready for that day, amen, that great and terrible day that's coming, you need to get ready tonight. It's imperative tonight. And if while I'm preaching, God knocks on your heart and you feel that tug, don't wait till I finish. Don't wait till I finish. It's the utmost importance here tonight, if you're here and lost, that you leave here saved. The most important part of the service is seeing you get saved tonight. Amen. It's not the preaching or anything else. Amen. There might be some people here that are sick tonight, and I'm not knocking that sickness. But if you're lost and undone, you have the greatest need in the house tonight. So if that's you, don't walk out of here unsaved. Don't walk out of here taking a chance on something. I wasn't going to take that chance on sitting that Jeep out here in the parking lot with the tops off of it and the windows down. How many of you left your windows down when you got out of your vehicle out here on the parking lot? Nobody. Why? Because you could see what was about to happen. Why in the world would you take a chance on something that you can see is about to happen? The Lord is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And as they stood there, the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus that you see, amen, he's going to come back." The same. I'm thankful tonight that he's not going to send his angels back for us. I'm thankful tonight that he's just not going to put a call out for us to come to heaven. But he himself will step out of the portals of glory onto the clouds and call us home. He himself, and we will see him as he is. But if you're not ready for that, you need to get ready. Because the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. It's not a matter of if you, amen, when he comes back, his glory is going to shine so bright that you're not going to be able to stand up. It's going to put you to your knees. So I'm asking you tonight, don't leave here unsaved. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18, going to go to the potter's house for just a little while tonight. If you found your place tonight, say amen.
Amen.
All week long I've been doing that. And I say amen. And you know, a lot of places I go to preach, that's the only amen that I'll get. So I got to get one while I'm preaching, amen. 18:1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought the work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made was clay, of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the potter, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Let us pray tonight. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord, thanking you for another opportunity to call upon your name. Thanking you for another opportunity, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord, and to preach your word, Lord, in fullness and freeness of the Spirit tonight. Asking you tonight, Father, knowing tonight, Lord, that you can work through my inabilities, Lord, through my weaknesses, Father. And I'm asking, Lord, I don't want to be seen of anybody, Lord, tonight. It's nothing that I am, but everything that you are tonight, Father. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody tonight. And I'm asking you tonight, Father, that you would come down and dwell with us for just a little while. I'm asking tonight, Father, Lord, that you would show us tonight your power through your word. Not, Lord, of anything that I am, Lord, but I'm thankful tonight that you chose the foolish things of this world, that through the foolishness of preaching, that men should be saved, that they would come to repentance, Lord, that they would find what they need in their life. And I'm thankful tonight, Father, it's got nothing to do with me and everything to do with you. So I'm asking you to be here with us, Lord, tonight on Saturday night. We know, Lord, that there's been some great effort put into getting here by some individuals, and we're asking you tonight, Father, to bless those efforts. Most of all, if there's one here tonight lost and on their way to a devil's hell, I'm asking you tonight, Father, to save their soul. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you tonight, Father. It's in your name we pray and ask always. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple things I want you to know about the potter tonight. The potter, he had to conduct his business outside of town. The potter couldn't conduct his business inside the precious walls of Jerusalem. If you were going to be a potter, you had to take your business outside of town. And the reason that was is because the kiln, when they would fire the kiln up, it let off an odor that was unappealing to many people. And they didn't want to smell that. So they would put, so when Jeremiah says here, he said, let us go down to the potter's house. He was talking about going out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem set up on a mountain. He was talking about, let's go down to the potter's house. And I want you to know tonight, hey man, I'm thankful for a potter that left the portals of glory, that left all the protective in heaven. The potter had to leave, hey man, the walls of Jerusalem, but Jesus had to leave the portals of glory to come down here and dwell with us, because when we could not get to Him, He came to us. The potter, in order to do what he was called to do, he had to go out of town. Something else I want you to know about the potter. The potter, as he would come back into town, there was no hiding that he was the potter. He bore the markings of the clay. When he would come into town, he would have the marks of the clay on his clothes. He would have the clay, the dirt, the mud and things under his fingernails. I'm sure he probably had a little bit. Hey man, when I get home from work, you can tell I've been at work. Hey man, I bear the markings of my career that I have. And I'm telling you now that the potter, when he came into town, there was no hiding. That's who he was. Aren't you thankful tonight for a potter that bore the markings of the clay? Isaiah says it like this, amen, well, let's go to Romans real quick. Romans 8 and 3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin and condemned sin in the flesh. I'm thankful that when He left the portals of glory, He left all the beautiful things behind to come to us. The potter had to care so much about his job that he had to leave all the protection of the city. Jerusalem was a walled city. It was a very protected city. But that potter cared so much about his job, about the clay, about what he was trying to do. He cared that much that he left all that protection. Jesus cared so much about you and I that he left all the protection in heaven. Amen. When they were in heaven, the angels would sing to his praises to his name. He left all of that. He left all the riches. He left everything behind to come down here and dwell with us in the likeness of sinful flesh. Amen. It said that the potter bore the markings. In Isaiah 53, it says like this, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. I'm thankful that He bore the marks tonight of the clay. But it said that the potter, he would go down and he would search out his own clay. The potter didn't send somebody to go find clay for him. But when he would go to find that clay, it said that clay wasn't always on the top. Good clay, he would have to dig down under the moss, under the roots of trees, down by the creek bed, out in dry areas, different places that he would go. He would have to go searching it out. Luke 19 and 10 says, for the Son of Man cometh to seek and save that which was lost. So I'm thankful that the potter, he seeks out the clay. Amen. But he didn't look on the top. Amen. He had to reach way down for me. I'm thankful that the potter, he didn't mind peeling back some of those layers that we were talking about last night. I'm thankful he didn't mind digging around the roots, in the mud, in the dirt, in the mire. Amen. He found me in the mire. But I'm thankful tonight that he put me in the choir. He took a mess and made a miracle out of it. I'm thankful he didn't mind searching for me. It says as the potter was out and he would search for that clay, he would immediately know when he found something special. He would immediately know when he put his hands on it exactly what he had grabbed a hold of. I'm thankful when the world thought I was worthless. They thought I was nobody and nothing. Amen. I was just an old, Al said it all week, what good thing can come from Clendenin? And I'm telling you, I was a nobody. Amen. I grew up right on the riverbanks of the Elk. I didn't know anybody. My mom and dad didn't have any money. But I'm thankful when the Lord saved me. I didn't have any money in my pocket. I didn't have nice clothes on. But it wasn't about who I was. It was all about who He is. I'm thankful tonight that when He got a hold of me, He knew He had grabbed a hold of something special. I had no idea what He could do with me in my life. I had no idea the journey that He was going to take me down throughout my life. But I'm thankful that I just got on the wheel. I'm thankful that I just got on the wheel and he's been molding me. And you know what? If each one of us are honest with ourselves tonight, we're each still on the wheel. He's still molding us into what he really wants us to be. And I'm thankful maybe every now and then he takes us off and he looks at us and he holds us up and he sees a little bit of imperfection. So he puts us back on the wheel, grabs a little bit of water and starts to spin the wheel and he begins to smooth out the rough places. Hey man, I'm not perfect. This flesh is weak. Hey man, and every now and then I falter, I fall, I mess up. But I'm thankful tonight that the potter, he knows the clay. He knows what I can be. And he saw something in me when nobody else saw anything. My mom and dad always said, the Lord's got something special for you. And I said, well, I wish he'd tell me what it was. Because I was an anxious somebody. But you know what I found out later in life? The Lord has something special for each one of us. It's salvation. It's salvation. That's the most precious gift that he could give any one of us. Hey, man, they had no idea what they were saying when they said that, but what he had in store for me was the most precious gift that he could ever give us, and that was the gift of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you don't have eternal life tonight, hey, man, you're missing out on the best gift that anybody could give you. But you think about it like this tonight. Thank you, Lord. There was this little boy. He had a friend, an older gentleman at the church that he was really, really good friends with, and he wanted to do something special for him. So he told his mom and dad, he said, I want to buy them something. They said, well, you know, if you want some money, he said, we'll give you some chores to do and you can earn it. I mean, the best gift that you can give a child is letting them learn how to earn something, right? So, hey, you kids, you can say amen too. Chores are wonderful things, amen. So he went out and he would mow the grass and he would pick up the trash. He'd take out the trash. He would help with the dishes. He was doing all these things. He was getting all this money gathered up together. And he went down to the store and he bought this wonderful little gift for this man at church. And the little boy was just as proud as could be of it. And he takes it to church and he walks up and he pokes the man on the shoulder. And the man turns around and he said, you're my best friend and I bought this for you. And the man looks down and says, I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. He said, no, you don't understand. I bought this with a price. Amen. Some of you know where I'm going with this tonight. I bought this with a price. You don't understand. This is a precious gift. Yeah. And his father's standing behind him. And he's beginning to be enraged just a little bit. Because he knows what his son went and did. He knew all the work that he put in. He knew all the price that he had paid. He knew what he'd gone and done. How angry would the father be with someone who rejected his young boy, amen, who had went and did all that work to offer a gift? Amen, someday we're going to stand before God Almighty. And if you don't claim the name of Jesus, how upset is he going to be that you rejected his only son who came to earth, who bore our sins, who bore our iniquities. He knew no sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. But yet still, you wanted nothing to do with him. People say, how could a God that is a God of love send someone to hell? He doesn't send anyone to hell. The choices that we make in this life dictate who we are and where we go. The choices that we make each and every single day. But when you reject Jesus, you're taking a risk of dealing with the Father. Amen. If some of you guys have children, I don't have any children yet. And some of you have children, and there's nothing in this world that you wouldn't do to protect that child. When you think about your love for your child, you cannot fathom how much God the Father loved his son. Yet, he sent him to earth to be beaten, to be spit upon, to be rejected, to be completely smitten. Amen. They said that he was beaten beyond recognition. And all of our sins and our iniquities, they were placed upon him. And so for those of you that have children, you can understand how upset that you would be if someone rejected your child that had done all that work. I'll move quickly tonight, but I want you to understand that you're taking a chance, you're taking a risk, and you're missing out on something that's wonderful. But I'm thankful he puts us on the wheel. He keeps us on the wheel. I'm thankful that he knows me better than I know myself. But he's went out, he's found the clay, he's brought it back, he's put it on the wheel, and he's begun to work a work in it. And the Bible says here that the work that was on the work that he wrought on the wheel was marred. In my life, I had taken what the Lord had given me, and I had marred my life with it. I wasn't fit for anything. Amen. I'd went out and I'd done my own thing. I'd went out to, and I'm thankful tonight that when he looked at me the morning that I came back to him, when he looked at me, he didn't just wad me up and throw me away. Amen. It said that he began to work a new work on the wheel. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things passed away and all things become new. I'm thankful that the potter knows the clay. He knows enough about me to know what my potential is. Potential is, and when I fall short, he doesn't just get rid of me.
Right.
Not one of us was fit for anything. We weren't fit. Hey man, if we got what we deserve tonight, not one of us will be sitting here on these comfortable pews.
Right. Right.
In shirts and ties and nice clothes. We would not be sitting here tonight if we got what we deserved. But I'm thankful that when we deserved death and when we deserved punishment, his mercy is what we found.
Right.
His mercy is what he sent. But he looked at the work that was on the wheel, and even though it was marred, he saw out into the future of what it could be. See, many of you in your life, you're beating yourself up about who you've become, the situation you're in now. I thought in my life, I woke up one morning and I thought, this is not what I envisioned for my life. This is not who I want to be. I was lost. I was away from the Lord. I was not where I needed to be at with Him. And I woke. I mean, it was like all of a sudden, like the prodigal son, I came to myself and I looked in the mirror and I thought, how did I get here? Because sin is a slippery slope. It's a very slippery slope. It'll always take you farther than you want to go. It'll always keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll always cost you more than you're willing to pay tonight. But amen, I pray that maybe sitting here in this service tonight, you're looking at your life and you're thinking, this is not what I had envisioned for my life. Because what the Lord wants in your life is He wants wonderful things. You teenage young men and young women, what the Lord wants in your life is wonderful things. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants you to have the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. But if you don't want that, He'll allow you to go and do what you want to do. And I had done that. I went and did what I wanted to do. And I looked at myself and I thought, this is not... No drunkard ever takes a drink and thinks, you know what I want to be in my life? I want to be an alcoholic.
No.
No drug addict ever takes that first hit of this or takes the first shot of that or does the first line of this or the line of that and thinks, you know what I want to be? I want to be addicted to this drug that I've just taken for the first time. No, no one wants to be addicted to all the things of this world. No one thinks that they're going to wake up one morning and realize that years and years and years have passed in their life and they're miserable because they've allowed the world to dictate everything. I've been thinking about all week what Jimmy was talking about the arrow. And I'm thankful today, amen, that God has got His hand on my life and He's guiding me. It's not about just following your arrow wherever you want to go, but allowing the Lord to lead you where He wants you to go. Because the thing about knowing the potter is, he can see all that's around the next bend. I heard a message preached one time and said, what if you had to schedule your trials for the next month? And I thought, oh my. He said, you're going to have a flat tire, you're going to be sick, someone in your family is going to get sick. He gave another example. He said, now you've got to figure out what weeks that's going to work out best for you and how you're going to handle it.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that we serve a God who's up there and He's pulling the strings and He's preparing the way? And I'm thankful tonight, and I might go out tonight and have a flat tire in the parking lot. But I'm thankful, amen, that every single time that I've had a flat tire or my wife's had a flat tire, it's been in the driveway at the house. Now, some of you tonight, you say, well, I've had them all over the place. I'm just telling you, I'm not saying I'm better than you are. I'm thanking the Lord for what He's done for me. Amen. Many of you are as nervous as I am. When my wife leaves the driveway, I pray her to work every morning, and I pray her back home every evening. Why? Because I love her. But I think about how much that I love her, how much more that God in heaven wants to help us in our lives. And He knows there's trials coming. He knows what's around the next bend. But I'm thankful as long as I put my little hand in His big hand, He will guide me through each one of those. I hadn't been saved very long, maybe 6 or 8 months, and I was working a job for Knauf Stone, and we were working down in Beckley, and the job was coming to an end. And I came into the office one day, and they said, "We need you to turn in your cell phone and your badge." And I thought, why? I mean, I was young in the work world, too. I didn't know what that meant. But maybe they're going to give me a new cell phone and a new badge. They said, "At the end of the day today, you're going to be laid off for a couple weeks. Don't worry, we'll call you back." Well, Danny and I, and with her family, we were all getting ready to go to the beach together, and I had saved up, like, I don't know, say $1,200. I had saved up all that money so that I could go down there, because I thought, I'm an adult, and I don't want anybody paying for anything of mine. I'll pay for my own food. I was going with her family. I thought, I'll pay for my own gas, my own food, my own everything. Yeah. We were leaving on Monday. I got laid off on Friday. Had no idea it was coming. So I went and I went home that day, and I was upset. I mean, I was really upset. I was really upset because they didn't tell me what was coming. Yeah. And so we went and we went to the beach, and Tom said, don't worry about anything. I know that you're going to be short for a couple weeks. He said, just let me pay for your food and your gas and all that. And I thought, no, I saved up this money. He said, I'm not taking no for an answer. So he had paid for the food and the gas and all that. And I ended up being laid off for 8 weeks. And in that 8 weeks, I calculated the amount of bills that I'd had come in 8 weeks. It was $1,197 of bills that I had come in 8 weeks. And I thought the Lord had allowed, I mean, He had just worked all that. He had orchestrated every bit of that out so that all that money that I'd saved up to go to the beach on was going to pay my bills and keep it last until I could start my new job. And I thought, I was thankful that I didn't have to plan that trial out. I was thankful at that moment that I was on the wheel and the potter had his hands on the clay and he knew what was coming up in my life. And I'm thankful that in your life, he can do the exact same thing. That preparations that we make for this or that, they don't always work out that way. But I'm thankful that he is the one that's preparing everything for the way. But he looked at the clay and he saw that it was marred. Many times in our lives, even after we've come to Him and we've been a Christian for a while, every now and then we get ourselves in a situation. Yes. And we become marred again. Yes. We get out of the will, we do something, say something that we shouldn't say. And aren't you glad that He doesn't grab the clay and throw it away? Because the clay was precious enough for Him to go out of town to work with it. It was precious enough for Him to go out and search for it. It's precious enough for Him to keep working it, even when the clay's not working back with Him. Amen. I thought no clay ever sits on the wheel and looks at the potter and says, this is what I want you to make me. Romans, I believe it's 9 and 20, says, hath not the potter power over the clay? We need to allow the Lord to work in our lives. But there's a word that they use in pottery. I think it's pliable. I want to be pliable with the Lord. Yes. I want to be workable. Right. I want to be soft. Right. That when He's beginning to work me in my life, and we were talking about the layers last night, amen, the only way that you can harden up is to allow those layers of crust and things to come over your clay. But as long as you're soft, He can mold you into what He wants you to be. Right. But you know, every now and then on the journey, we get cracks in us. We get just by everyday use. I was reading an article on some pottery. I wanted to try to understand the idea of pottery, which was a very boring read for me, but I was trying to understand so that I could understand what the Lord was trying to use here in the application of this. And it said even the best pots that have been baked and sealed and all that, over time, they will crack just from being used. You know, we as Christians can try our very best to be the best Christian that we can be. But you know, just from everyday use, every now and then, we get cracks in us. There's things that come up. Maybe it's a trial in your life. Maybe it's a situation in your life. And whatever that might be, you get cracks in you. You get imperfections. Something happens to you, and you get cracked. And instead of that, potter would take the pot and put it back on the wheel. And he would use some new clay. He would work up some new clay, and he would put on that crack. But you know who the potter's best friend is? It's the shepherd. Because on those sheep, many of your animals, those of you that farm, many of your animals have these little black, ugly-looking things called ticks on them. And the potter would go out to the sheepfold, and he would pick these ticks off of the sheep and put them in a little box, and he would keep them there on his workstation. And as he would mix this new clay up, he would open the box, and he would take out a tick, and he would rub the tick in between his fingers, and he would work that blood from that tick into that new clay. And they said that blood from that tick, which would actually considered be a blood from the lamb or the sheep, that because the tick is a blood-sucking insect, so they would put that blood in the clay and rub it on that pot. And that blood would serve as a glue to hold that new clay into place. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the blood in your life that serves as the glue that holds you together? But they say they would take that blood from that, and it didn't matter how much they needed. He would just keep getting a tick until he got enough that was needed, and he would just keep rubbing it, and he would work it into that new pot. No matter how big the crack was, no matter how marred the vessel was, that blood would serve as a glue. Amen. I'm thankful. His grace is sufficient. His blood was always enough. It's always been enough. No matter how deep in sin you were, no matter how good you think you were, amen, the blood was just enough in your life. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, I believe it is, and the Passover lamb is getting ready to come, and it tells them to take a lamb. It says, take a lamb, the lamb, your lamb, and you're going to watch it for 5 days, and then you're going to kill the lamb and catch it in a bowl and use a hyssop and add it to the side post and the top post of the door. But right before that, when it says you're taking the lamb, it said if the lamb be too great for the house, or if the house be too small for the lamb. It never said if the lamb was too small for the house. It said if the house was too small for the lamb, share it with your neighbor. Aren't you glad in your life that the lamb was always enough? Your need, there was never a need that was too great that the lamb couldn't handle. The lamb was never too small for our situations. The lamb was never too small for the sin in our life. The lamb was never too small to handle what was going on in our lives. But it said, share it with your neighbor. Amen. Isn't that what we're doing? Isn't that what we're doing in here tonight? Aren't we sharing the lamb with our neighbor? Why? Because he's so great in my life. Amen. I got to share him with somebody else. But they take the blood and they apply it to the top post and the side post. And this is something that jumped off the page a couple weeks ago at me. It said, then you need to eat of the lamb. That would signify having the blood on the outside and the lamb on the inside. Isn't that how you got saved? Huh? The blood is applied in my life. I'm thankful that he washed me in the blood. Oh, but there was something that happened on the inside of me. There was someone that moved inside of my soul and took over and helps in my life. I've got the blood on the outside and the lamb on the inside. But they would take that blood and then they would apply it to the clay and they would put it back in the oven. And I begin to read and it said, they would know when that pot was just about finished, when it was just about perfect, because the pot would begin to sing. It wasn't the pot or the clay that was in there singing. It was that blood that would begin to whistle just a little bit. Paul and Silas are sitting in prison. About midnight, it said that Paul decided they should pray, and they began to sing just a little bit. They were in a dire situation. They were in dire straits. I wonder how many times in your life you've been in a dire situation. You've been in dire straits. Just a sweet old song, Amazing Grace, just comes to your mind. Maybe you just begin to whisper it just a little bit. Hey, man, I'm thankful that when the blood's applied to my life and I'm ready to come out of the fire, I'll begin to sing just a little bit. I'll begin to praise the Lord just a little bit. It's that there was an earthquake and the doors of the prison were opened.
Yes.
Why? Because in their need, in their time of need, they decided to sing.
Yeah.
It was the blood that was singing. Only in your life, when you're in that situation that seems hopeless, that you begin to have that peace, will the blood begin to sing. It's because the blood is the glue that holds you together. It's because the blood of Jesus is the glue in my life that holds me together each and every single day. Because no matter what comes upon me, the blood is just enough. It says that back in the 70s, 80s, they were trying to research some new snake venom, anti-snake venom. And it used to be that they would take it from a horse. They would extract, they would put the venom into the horse, and then they would extract the blood and the venom back out of the horse. And that was how they had anti-snake venom. But that anti-snake venom was only good for one time. If you ever got bit again in your life, you were just out. But back in the 80s, they found over in one of the other countries, they found that if they would do the same thing to a sheep, they could take that blood of a lamb and apply that snake venom in there, and they would pull that blood out, and that anti-venom was good for innumerable amount of bites. The blood of a lamb would be the difference in the snake bite. Now, many of you in this life, you've been bitten. You've been bitten by different situations. Paul was bitten by that viper, amen, that came out of the fire. But many of you, you've been bitten by different situations. You've been bitten by different things going on in your life.
Yes.
Aren't you glad that you've got that anti-venom in your life? Amen. And it's good for no matter how many times something bad happens to you, no matter how many times that somebody says something, no matter how many times that somebody does something, no matter how many times something bad comes upon you, that the blood serves as that anti-venom. Amen. And I'm thankful that the devil has no power over me in my life. But it's that anti-venom from the Lamb. It's that blood from the Lamb. Let's talk about broken vessels and I'll be finished. In Matthew 27, I believe, maybe it's 26, it's talking about how that Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and Judas realized immediately that he had made a mistake. And he goes back to those that had paid him to betray Jesus, and he tries to give them the money back. And they're like, hey, that was your choice. We can't take that back. And they called it something special. They said it was blood money. They said, we can't put that in the treasury either. That's blood money. And he just threw it down on the porch there, and he left. And you know the story of Judas there. But these men are standing there, and they said, we can't put this in the treasury of the temple. So they said they gathered that money up, and they went out and they bought a potter's field. I'm thankful tonight that the blood of Jesus bought all the broken things, bought all the worthless things, bought what the world looked at as a throwaway. That the blood of Jesus, it purchased what nobody else thought would ever amount to anything. What they looked at as a, and to this day, they say over there, that to this day, that the name of that field is the field of blood. And I'm thankful that that field of blood was a potter's field where the potter would throw away all the broken vessels and everything that wasn't meat for the kingdom and everything that wasn't worth anything at all. And I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus, he purchased a field, amen, of those that were throwaways that nobody thought would amount to anything. I'm thankful in my life that the blood has purchased me.
Amen.
Even when the world said I wasn't
Amen.
Worth nothing.
Amen.
Now some of you tonight, and maybe all week, now some of you have had good things to say about the messages, and many of you probably thinking, man, I wish he'd just be quiet. This is the last night. I'm ready to go home. But I've enjoyed myself being here this week. And whoever's going to come to get us an altar call, I want you to understand something. Bible says in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. But I want you to know something tonight, that the life of the Spirit is in the blood. The only way that you can make it to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope that you'll have in your life. Now, in Exodus, I was talking about the lamb that they had that was the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, you'll look, and it was the blood of two goats. The scapegoat and the goat that was offered up for their sins. That was for a nation. But I'm thankful when John looked up and saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." I'm thankful that it don't matter. It's not by the blood of goats and of calves and of all that stuff anymore, but by the precious blood of Jesus, that I can now get to heaven. He opened that door for us. He paved the way for us. As we stand to our feet tonight, maybe you're one of those broken vessels. You look at yourself and you say, "I can never be anything." But when Jesus looks at you, He sees your potential. He sees what you could be. But most of all, when He looks at you, He sees someone who He wants to save, who He wants to mold, who He wants to take care of. You say, "You don't understand, preacher. All my life I've been doing things wrong." You've only got to get something right one time to get to heaven. You just got to make one right decision one time. You say, I don't understand that." Tonight, you say, "You know what? I'm tired of making all the wrong decisions. I'm tired of doing it the wrong way. I just want salvation. I just want to be saved." That's the only right decision up to this point in your life. Everything else has been wrong. If you can make that decision tonight, you can fix all those wrongs. I'm thankful He's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. That every single time that I fall short, that the blood is still there, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But tonight, maybe you've been here a couple nights and you've thought, "Man, I know I should have went last night. I know I should have went another night." Tonight is the night that you can get things right with the Lord. Don't dwell on whether you should have or shouldn't have came last night. Just come tonight. Just come tonight. All you've got to do is just come and accept Him. Maybe you got a crack in your vessel. You know that this world will put pressure on us. Every now and then, it'll crack us. Just the pressure of that. I thought Danny had some old, I think it was Danny, had some old coffee cups. And I was holding one day, and I got to talking, and I know you guys probably won't believe this at all, but I get to talking, my hands get to moving, and I was squeezing that coffee cup. And man, I busted that thing right in my hands. There's pressures that can come on you in this life that feel like they're absolutely going to break you. Maybe maybe the world's put so much pressure on you that they've cracked you. Allow Jesus to get a little bit of new clay mixed with His precious blood, and let Him fix that crack in your life. Let Him fix that situation. There's not one of us that's going to walk through this life and never have a heartache and never have a care and never have a problem. Not one of us is going to do that. But I'm thankful that Jesus is the one who does the repairing. He's the one that does the fixing. Maybe in your life, you've been trying to fix things, amen, just with the clay. You've been trying to put your hands on it, and you've been trying to fix your problems in your life with earthly things. Earthly things will not fix the problems that you've got in your life. The only thing that will fix the problems that you've got in your life tonight is Jesus Christ. He's got to put His hands on it. And when He touches something, He makes it perfect. So if you can come tonight and accept Him, I'm telling you, it'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life, as we get a song.
Follow Jesus.
bowed and eyes closed this evening. Father, this revival has been something special, and many of you have stood and said it's been something special, but I look at things just logically, I guess. Jesus had went and he'd fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 little fish. And it said all those were filled. And then they took up the baskets afterward, and there was more food there than they could eat. I mean, everyone was supposed to leave absolutely filled up. But in my mind, I have to believe that there was at least one or two people that when the basket came around, they just passed it right on to the next one without taking anything out of it. They were afraid to take something out of it. They were afraid to eat of it, or they just decided that they weren't going to eat at that moment, or whatever it was. The food was there for them to eat, but they just decided that they didn't want to take of it. Maybe in this revival, you've been sitting and you've been listening to everybody else talk about how good it's been, about how they've enjoyed it, their testimonies and everything, and how they wished it would go on for another week. Now, it's not going to do that. Don't get nervous tonight. But many of you thinking, man, I guess it was all right. I was here at least. Maybe the reason tonight that you're not leaving on Saturday night full is because you didn't just take and eat. The food's been there. I mean, you could have feasted on testimonies this week and singing this week. I can't say a whole lot about the preaching, but I know that everything else has been wonderful. I'm telling you, it's been here for you to take and eat this week, but maybe you just couldn't. Or you just didn't. Not that you couldn't, you didn't. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to come and talk to the Lord about it, that you could leave this service tonight filled up. That you could leave with all that you need to go out here and fight the wiles of the devil, to fight the wiles of the world. That you could leave here tonight knowing that you're where you need to be at, on the road of salvation, headed for heaven. And if you leave here tonight and that's not you and you're not in that situation, you're taking a great big chance. Because we're not promised our next breath. He doesn't owe us anything. He said he would give us an opportunity for all to come to repentance. And anyone that's been here this week has had that opportunity. But if you turn your back on him and walk out the door without accepting, he doesn't owe you another one. So I'm asking you tonight, don't walk out the door unsaved. Don't walk out of here not knowing. I don't know why I said not knowing. Don't walk out of here knowing that you're not where you need to be at. Don't walk out of here unsaved tonight. I'm here to pray with you. Rob's up front. Al's up here. He is able to save you. He said, whosoever. Aren't you glad tonight that you were a whosoever will? Aren't you glad tonight he didn't put specifications on who could get saved? But he said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. There's not a situation he can't save you from. There's not a situation, there's not anything in your life that you've done that he can't forgive you for. All you've got to do tonight is ask him to do that, and he will. Just ask him. Maybe you just need filled up. Just ask him. Just ask him. As we sing another song, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, don't walk out of here tonight unsaved. Don't walk out of here tonight weak. Don't walk out of here tonight knowing that everything you needed was right here and you didn't take of it. As we sing.
to the Lord he cried. He said he is a sinner, and now he must die. Yeah. But then I heard a voice saying, he said, Father, I'll go. And I'll bear the sin debt on Calvary's blow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross and save that child who was sin sick and lost. And it's still that saves from sin. Yes, it's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory. Now there are those who rely on the works that they do, and some even count on the times they pray through. But when the battle is over and the last song is sung, I'm going home. That saves from sin. Yes, it's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
We want to thank you for coming and being with us every night. You have come to help us and encourage and pray. God's got the record and we appreciate you. Brother Harper has done a wonderful job. The Lord has used him mightily and has helped us tremendously. He's going to go to the back, and he's going to shake hands. He's going to pray with you.
Yeah.
Just like the Lord said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's our intention, to revive the church, to see people come to the kingdom, to see people get stronger, closer to the Lord. But we can't. We cannot. There's many of people that we've invited. I've invited. I'll be there. They deceived me. The devil deceived them. Would you bow your heads? We thank you for the offering. We thank you for your attendance. We thank the Lord for your songs and the choir, the music, the people that have come to share with us. From Monday night, Sunday night, through tonight. We appreciate you. All hearts and minds clear. Don't forget, church, we'll be looking for you in the morning. We have a big day planned tomorrow. I pray that you pray tonight. Good night. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, man.
Thank you.
See you later, baby.